was going to bring my terrible towel this morning, but I couldn't find it. Somebody must have taken it or something, you know. It's just going to have some fun here this morning. Amen. Anybody bring one here this morning? Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you have your Bibles today, go ahead and open up with me to Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22. Genesis 5:22. And we'll pray first of all. Father, we thank you today for this service, for the new year, this new series, Father, that you placed and burned it inside my spirit, Father. I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit to take the Word of God and make it real to us today. Whatever we're going through, Father, you have hope. You have a vision. You have a future for us, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I primarily, you know, if you've been here any length of time, that I primarily teach, for the most part, 99% of the time, I teach in a form of a series, because you can build upon the subject line upon line, precept upon precept, you know. And I want to talk about this particular subject. This is the title called Walking with God. And under that, I said this: your smartest choice that you'll ever make. Walking with God. How many of you here, you made a choice at some point in your life to walk with God? That's the greatest, smartest choice that you will ever make in this life. You know, there's a lot of decisions that we make in this life, you know, that are important. Your education, your future mate, you know, those are major decisions, wouldn't you say so, that will affect your life for a long time. But I'll tell you, there's no choice, there's no decision that's more important than your decision to walk with God. And I want to talk about this. Let's look at this scripture here in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22. Amen. And it says, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And so Enoch," verse 24, "Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him." Now, it's kind of interesting because in verse 24, it says that he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Does that mean that God killed him? No. But you know what? That's the kind of phrase that I've heard many times through the years, that when someone passes away, someone said God took so-and-so, you know, and so forth. But you know, the only phrase in the Bible that says that God took someone was in this scripture right here. It's never referring to someone passing away or dying. God took so-and-so. Okay? Actually, as you're going to read here, he was translated. He was taken. God, he was walking so close with God, God says, "I got to have him here." Poof, he pulls him out of the earth, body and all. And he's still there in heaven. We're going to see why this happened here. But here's the phrase that I want you to see here, that in verse 24, that Enoch walked with God. Now jump down to verse 27. That's Genesis 5 and verse 27. It says, "And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died." 969 years. Can you imagine this guy's birthday cake? Matter of fact, Methuselah was the oldest person. He lived more years on this earth, and I'll explain why. He lived longer on this earth than any human being. He had the longest lifespan. Okay. Now we know that after the flood, we're going to see this in Genesis 6. After the flood, God shortened the years of man on the earth. And he says, "My spirit will not always strive with man, but his days, the maximum number of days will be 120 years. Okay. That's what God said. So he's promised us if we want to, we can have up to 120 years. Most people don't want to. Most people don't even know that you have the potential to break the 100 barrier. Amen. But notice that that all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Now, what was it that made Enoch, which was his father, what was it that made him make this transition where he started to walk with God? What was it? Well, Methuselah, you have to realize that in the Bible, in the book of Genesis from there on, that God would supernaturally give people names, and their names had meaning attached to it. It's not like today, you know, where you have a child, you know, and you get this big, massive book. You've seen those before. If you're going to name a child, and there's 1,001 names, 10,000 names that you can choose from, and you can scroll down. Oh, I like that name. I think I'll pick that. But actually, that's not the way that God originally did this. Okay? See, Methuselah actually means this. When he dies, judgment shall come. When he dies, it shall fall. So in other words, Enoch had a revelation. We would call it a word of wisdom. Now we know that in the Bible, in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that there's manifestations of the Spirit that are given to the church. And there's three sets. There's one manifestation is the utterance gifts. Okay? There's tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Okay? And then there's the revelation gifts. There's word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Then there's the power gifts. Gift of special faith, that's not ordinary faith. Working of miracles. And what's the other one? I can't think of it right offhand. Gifts of healings. So there's three gifts that say something, three gifts that do something, and three gifts that reveal something. Now it's interesting because there's nine manifestations or nine gifts of the Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the only ones that all the gifts of the Spirit operated in the Old Testament, with the exception of tongues and interpretation of tongues. That was distinct for the new covenant that we live in right now. And that's for us, for tongues and interpretation of tongues. You know, every one of you here, you can speak in tongues and interpret your own prayer language. Did you know that? And maybe if the Lord leads us, we'll teach you how to tap into that, how to yield to that. You can actually pray things out in tongues, pray things out in the Spirit, and then interpret what you just prayed. Amen? That's pretty exciting, isn't it? There's a lot of times I've done that through the years. I've prayed about things. Oh, man, I don't know how to pray like I should. The Bible says when we don't know how to pray as we ought, the Holy Ghost helps us to pray. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, you can pray some things out in the Spirit, and all of a sudden wisdom starts rising up on the inside of you, and all of a sudden I know what to do here. I've got direction here. I heard from heaven. You see, when we hear from heaven, it's not like we're hearing from out there somewhere. Heaven lives on the inside of us because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. Now, Methuselah was the oldest person that lived on this earth, and the meaning of his name is when he dies, it shall fall, it shall come. Here's what's interesting. The very year that Methuselah died, the flood came. Noah's great flood. Remember that? Flooded the whole earth. And the only survivors were Noah, his wife, his sons, and wives. There was eight of them. The Bible talks about Peter. A few were saved. Eight. Okay? Eight souls were on that ark. Now we know that there was a bunch of animals as well. It's interesting because God, when he instructed Noah to do this, there was no rain yet. There was no rain. There was a mist that came up from the earth. Now, why did Enoch start to walk with God? Because he knew what the future held. And something in him said, I want to get my life straight. I want to get my life straight. You know, it's kind of like this. There are people that are, quote, atheists. But let me tell you something. There is no atheist in a foxhole. When bullets are flying past their head, bombs are going off. There's something inside of those people that start to cry out for God, even though they might say, I'm an atheist, because there's something inherent in them that says, I believe there is a God. There has to be a God. Amen? And so Enoch began to walk with God because he knew what the future held. He was not ignorant of the future. And so he said, man, I don't know how long this is going to be, but I'm going to start to walk with God. He began to walk with God. Hallelujah. So Enoch had a word of wisdom about the future. What's the difference between 1 Corinthians 12, word of knowledge, and word of wisdom? Well, a word of knowledge is supernatural impartation of facts that are present or past. A word of wisdom has to do with what's going to happen in the future. Okay? And a lot of times they'll flow together, those things. A lot of times a word of knowledge and gifts of healings will flow together. There'll be a, you know, there's been, I can't help how many times I've been up here in ministering, not only here, but other places. And I would have a supernatural revelation of someone that was being healed of some particular disease or sickness or pain or something like that, you know. And that's a word of knowledge. And then you call that out. And then the gifts of healings begin to manifest. We're going to see a lot more of that this year. You mark my words. We're going to see a lot more of that taking place where God just supernaturally heals people right on the spot. Amen. And so the day that Methuselah, the year that Methuselah died, here comes the great flood, flooded the entire earth. But Enoch was so close to God. Now, go over to the New Testament for a minute. Look in Hebrews chapter 11, where Paul the Apostle is referring to, we call this the Hall of Faith, fame of faith, of Hebrews chapter 11. And he mentions Enoch here, and let's just see what the Apostle Paul, I believe, wrote the book of Hebrews, said here regarding him. And our subject is walking with God. Amen. I don't believe anybody here today, you're not here by chance, you're not here by accident. You're here because something within you wants to walk with God. Amen. And what better time to choose, amen, than now, than to walk with God. But notice in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, it says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had translated him. Now, the Genesis says God took him, but it says here that he was translated. Now, what does that mean? That means you're all of a sudden you're here, and all of a sudden you're there in an instant, you're over here. He just, amen. That's before Star Trek and all that stuff. Amen. Beam me up, Scotty. Amen. And he says, for God had translated him before his translation. Notice this, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So Enoch pleased God because he walked with God. And you know, when you make a choice to walk with, I mean, you could have the worst past you can imagine, but if you make a choice today, I'm going to walk with God. I don't care what I don't care what happened last year, all those disappointments. I'm gonna walk with God. Best choice you can ever make. And I'll tell you, he's the only one, folks, listen to me, he's the only one that can fix your broken mess. Only God can fix things that you can't fix. Quit trying to figure everything out on your own. Quit trying to fix everything on your own. I'm telling you, if you walk with God, he can fix broken lives, broken minds, broken bodies, broken finances, broken relationships. If you turn to him and walk with him instead of trying to take it on yourself. Amen. That just takes a load of pressure off us when we realize I don't have to do this in my own strength because I'm arm in arm with the Lord. So notice this. He had this testimony, but before God took him, that he pleased God. Now here's the verse that we like to quote, verse 6. But without faith, say without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Notice that phrase, diligently seek him. Well, that's another way of saying those that walk with the Lord. You see, it's impossible. I heard someone say this years ago when I was at Bible school, in fact. He said, it's impossible to be a diligent seeker of God unless you first believe that he is. I'll say that again. It's impossible to be a diligent seeker of God unless you first believe that he is. See, when I pray, I can't see God, but I believe he's there. I believe that more than anything else. And I remind myself of that all the time. And the Lord reminds me too. He says, now Keith, now remember who's with you today. Amen. Matter of fact, the Lord spoke to me just a few short days ago. He says, I never heard him say this to me. He says, now Keith, remember this. He said, I'm pastoring through you. It's not just little old Keith up there. Thank God. The Lord says, I'm pastoring the people through you. And that just changed my perspective. You know what I mean? Just to realize, wow, what an awesome privilege it is to be able to yield to God and to shepherd and to feed and to nurture the people of God. Oh, God, that's awesome, isn't it? See, we're not in this alone. God's with us. He's walking in us. He says, I'll be their God. I'll be their people. I'll walk with them. I'll dwell in them. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives on the inside of you. And so it's impossible to please God without faith. In fact, the only avenue that there is to please God is by faith. So you know, you get a lot of people out there to criticize faith. Amen? Well, they're actually criticizing the only means whereby you can please God is by faith. We please each other by faith, right? Now, if you came up to me and said, you're going to do something for me, and I looked at you and said, I don't believe a word, would that offend you? Well, it should offend you, right? We please each other by faith, right? Well, God's the greatest faith that you can have, the greatest, the highest faith that you can have is simply taking God at His word. Not getting all spooky and say, Lord, just give me an angel or a visitation or a vision or something like that. The highest type of faith that you and I can have today, and all of us can operate in this, is to take God at His word. In other words, you've got a scripture, boom, I believe that. I believe that. I don't have to have an angel appear to me to tell me that. I've got the word of God. I'm going to stand on the word of God, and I believe the word of God. I get excited talking about this. Amen. But, you know, Enoch started to walk with God after God said, your son's name is to be Methuselah. Methuselah means when he dies, judgment is coming. There's coming something on this earth. And so he began to, you know, gather up his things, and he began to get things, his house in order. He said, I'm going to start serving God. Amen. Now go to Jude for a minute here. It's right before the book of Revelation. It's only one chapter. And Jude says something else about Enoch here. In Jude chapter 1 and verse 14. And it says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, generation wise, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of their hard speeches, and ungodly sinners have spoken against them. Well, you see the word ungodly there several times, don't you? Enoch could look down through the eons of time, and he saw the Lord coming. He saw the second coming of Jesus. He saw the rapture coming with 10,000s of saints. That's a word of wisdom. Amen. Now, I want you to go to the book of 1 Chronicles. I want to show you a scripture, maybe an obscure scripture, and I want to tie this into what we're talking about. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32. And it says this. And the children of Issachar. Now, who are the children of Issachar? They're one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Right, you had Ephraim, Judah, 12 tribes, all right? And God says this about the tribe of Issachar. He said, and the children of Issachar, which were men that had, notice this, understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, and the heads of them, 200, and the brethren were their commandment. Now notice that this particular tribe had an anointing on them. Matter of fact, I was reading through this week and studying this, you know, and I've known this for quite a while, but I refreshed my memory along this line. All the 12 tribes of Israel, you know, you got the 12 disciples, 12 tribes. God works in these number systems, you know. And what's interesting is these 12 tribes of Israel, okay, Israel was Jacob, who God changed his name into Israel. He was the father of the children of Israel. He had 12 sons, okay? And every one of these sons became a certain tribe. That's how Israel started. That's, if you go back, that's where it all started, amen? But every one of these tribes had a particular anointing on them to do certain things, okay? Israel, the Issachar, the tribe of Issachar, had understanding of the times. They had wisdom and knowledge to know what Israel ought to do. Okay? Then you go to the tribe of Judah. They're the tribe of what? Praise. Glory to God. One of the other tribes was a tribe of war. They were anointed in war. Okay? So there was anointings and giftings that God gave to these 12 tribes. And, you know, if you were in the tribe of Issachar, then that anointing would come upon you. Amen? If you're in the tribe of Ephraim, that particular anointing will come upon you for that, whatever they were called to do. All right? Are you with me? Now, this is basically what happened to Enoch. That he had a word of wisdom regarding the future. And when you know what the future holds, you can make preparations. Amen. And this is exactly what began to take place. All right? Now, what does it mean? Here's where we're going to tie this in right now. What does it mean to walk with God? What does it really mean to walk? Now, we use this as a metaphor. You're not literally walking with God. In one way, you are. But let me read this to you. I got this out of a book that I was reading, and I thought he explained it really, really well about walking with God. Listen to this. What happens when we walk with someone? Question mark. Imagine if you and a close friend are enjoying a walk down a country trail. You are in close proximity. You talk, you laugh, you listen, you share your hearts. Your attention is focused on this person to the exclusion of almost everything else. You notice the beauty around you or an occasional distraction, but only to point it out to your companion. You share it together. You're in harmony. You both enjoy the peaceful camaraderie. Walking with God is like that. When we enter into an intimate, heartfelt relationship with God through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that a clear picture? When you're in an intimate relationship with someone and you're walking with them, you talk with them. Amen. Lynn and I will be married 35 years this year. You know, I know her better now than I did 15 years ago. She knows me better now than 15 years ago. Amen. And I praise God for it. But I can tell you this: I know what she likes and I know what she doesn't like. I know the kind of food she likes. I know the kind of food she doesn't like. Why? Because I've spent time with her. If we go to a restaurant, I can almost pick out on the menu what she's going to order. Okay? And situations, you know, you get in different situations. I know what she likes. I know what she doesn't like. I know what she's comfortable with. I know what she's not comfortable with, you know. And that's the way it should be, because we have fellowship. We're not just legally married. We have a relationship, yes, but we have fellowship with each other. And because of that, I'm able to know what she likes. She knows what I like and don't like. And then we can flow together. You see? And that's exactly the way it is with God, is when you start walking with God, it's, you know, I'll know my sweetheart better a year from now than I do today. Amen? It's not just put it on a shelf. It's just business as usual. I want to know her better. Amen? And so it is with God. When we walk with God, we can come to know Him better and better every month, every week, every year. Hallelujah. Just by walking with Him. Amen? I want to hit something right between the eyes right now. Can we do that? Okay. Satan is in total opposition of God. Never forget that. He is not doing work for God. He's an absolute enemy of God. Satan represents, and his demons represent, everything that's anti-God. Satan cannot create anything. He's only a counterfeiter. He's not a creator. He can only counterfeit. Who created music? The Lord did. But Satan's the one that's perverted the music and used it for other things other than God. All right? And the devil has lied to a lot of people, Christian folks, because of unfortunate things that have happened to you as a Christian. And there's something, how can I put this? There's something within you that tends to blame God for why this happened. You're like, I don't know why that happened. God, I don't understand that. And sometimes it's even a subconscious thing. We can develop an attitude towards God, an anger towards God. God, why did this happen to me? First thing, and I wasn't even planning on saying this, first thing we need to understand is this. Remember, God is never your problem. He's never, ever your problem. And when we back off of the things of God, something within us, now we may not be saying it, but there's something in us that says we're blaming God for something that we shouldn't be blaming Him for. God is our companion. Now listen, who here has not made mistakes? Now, I submit this to you, that the closer we walk with God, the tighter that we are with Him, the more things we can avoid in the future. Pitfalls of the enemy. Bad relationships. Now, folks, some of the decisions we've made, you can't go back and change past decisions. You can't go back and do that. But let me tell you something. If you had the wisdom and the knowledge prior to going into that situation, you could have avoided that. I could have avoided certain things. If you have wisdom and you have knowledge about certain things, maybe a relationship or something you're about to get into that's, you know, that's not of God. I'm just saying, okay? But something in here something in there is scratching. Something's trying to get your attention. That's the Holy Spirit. Amen? And I tell you, we can't be headstrong. We have to be heart sensitive. The Holy Ghost on the inside of us is always wanting to lead us and guide us and direct us. Amen? If we'll listen to Him. And I'll tell you, Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." Amen? Case in point. How many of you know God wants to protect you? He is in the protection business. He wants to protect you. However, we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and the primary way that God leads all of His children is by the inward witness. Romans says this, we know that, or John says this in the Apostle, he says, we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Amen. The Apostle Paul says, the Spirit, Romans 8:16, the Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost, bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. So how do you know you're a child of God? The inward witness. Amen. How many of you believe and you know you're a child of God? Raise your hand. I mean, you know it. Did Jesus appear to you and tell that to you? Now, you got the Word, of course, yeah. But you have the inward witness that's like, I know I'm right with God. Amen? That's why Christians never need be afraid of death. Now, let's live out our days, amen? We should live out our days. But I'll tell you, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The instant you leave this body, you're in the God's presence. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Okay? Well, let's live out the number of our days. But let me tell you something. The devil will try. I heard Keith Moore talking about this the other night, how that the enemy will try to set us up with different things, you know. But we have to be heart sensitive. For example, you know, you're about to take a trip somewhere. And something's scratching you on the inside. Just, it's not a voice. It's not words. It's not audible. But there's just an inward witness. Something in there says, just wait. Just wait. Now, I know of a person, a number of years ago, remember the plane that came down here and right out here past the airport? I don't know, it's probably a good 20 years ago. Plane fell out of the sky, you know, and killed everybody. Remember that? Anybody remember that? And, well, there was a guy that was a believer, actually, and the flight was coming from Chicago. From my understanding, it was coming from Chicago to Pittsburgh. It was a late afternoon flight. People were doing business there, coming back home, you know. And it was tragic what happened. You know, I remember that beautiful sunny day, and that plane came out of the sky and killed everybody there. But this gentleman was supposed to be on that plane. He was scheduled to be on that plane. But he's, and I heard this from someone, a relative actually, that said that he just didn't feel good about getting on. He just wasn't a word or words coming to me. He said something in him just said, take the next flight instead. Now his head was like, I want to get home. Got a family. I want to get home. All right. But something in him just said, just take the next flight. You know, not a voice, just an inward witness. And so he decided to do that. Well, the family thought he was on that plane. Because they had the flight numbers and all that. So, oh, God, my son was on that plane and so forth, you know. Well, they thought he was until he got the phone call. Has he risen from the dead? Because everybody perished in that thing. But see, he said this afterwards. He said it was the most subtle thing you can imagine. It was so subtle. But he said, I could have avoided it. I could have been headstrong and just pushed it aside and jumped on that plane, you know. And then he would have perished. And then someone says, I don't understand why there were Christians on that plane and they died and they perished, you know. Well, listen, God is always trying to communicate with us. He's trying to talk to us and communicate with us. And see, this is what it means when you're walking hand in hand with him, hand in hand, because there's this fear sometimes. I wonder if I'll hear his voice. I wonder. Well, that's not the way you're going to do it, because when you get in rest and you get in peace, let me tell you something. He's able to communicate to you. Sometimes my wife can look at me with a certain look and I know exactly what, without saying a word. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? I get it. Just body language. Amen. And you can get so close with the Lord that you'll start sensing things, you know, and realizing what's going to take place. Amen. Now, you may not know exactly what could have happened until you get to heaven. Do you know how many times God probably averted certain things in our lives just because we're walking with him? And within a split second, something could have taken place, you know? Well, that man's life was saved because of the inward witness. Because of the inward witness. Amen? Well, I remember myself back, probably this is 1987, to be exact. 1987. I had just gone to get some new tires for my little car that I had. Went down to this place, got tires, got it put on. I'm driving home. I'm pretty close to home. And I'm at this intersection, actually a blind intersection. You know, it was like a T. And I was the first one at the light, and the light was red. And as soon as the light turned green, now I couldn't see, like cars were coming both ways from the other street, you know. And something, it wasn't a voice, it was just something in me just said, just wait, just hold it. And I was, you know, people behind you start beeping their horns. Come on, let's go. But I hesitated, oh, 2 or 3 seconds. And when I did, a car coming down the street, coming down the hill, was going about 45 to 50 miles an hour, zoom, went right through the red light. See, my light was green. Now, technically, letter of the law, I should have went when it was green, right? But there was an inward witness, not a voice, an inward witness that said, hold it. And when I did, whoosh, and I'll tell you what, I said, right away, I turned, you know, after that, I just took off and went. Nothing happened, you know. But I thought, dear God, if I would have been headstrong in this situation here and just, you know, just pressure, you know, get under. See, we should always be walking in peace. We shouldn't be driven like, come on, we've got to be so task-oriented, driven, you know, driven. We still got to listen to our spirits. We've got to be sensitive to our spirits. Well, a few months later, actually, this was in the summer when that happened. In the wintertime, I was at the same intersection. This time, my wife and I and Josh and Kelly, they were in the back. They were just babies at the time, you know. And I was the second one in line. Is this exact same light? And there was somebody in front of me. There was a woman in front of me. And the light turned green. She went. This time, the same intersection, a car came through exactly the same way down the hill and T-boned that car. I mean, just spun that car around, you know. And it was actually a hit and run. This guy hit the car, and he had one of these big old cars that are real thick metal and all that stuff. And he just took off, you know. But I'll tell you, that car was messed up. That woman was messed up, you know. And I thought, Lord, I thank you for the inward witness. Because the inward witness spared my life, saved my life. Amen. A good confession to make is Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. Say this, I am God's sheep.
I am God's sheep.
I hear his voice. A stranger's voice, I won't listen to. Amen. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Now, he's speaking metaphorically, right? I'm God's sheep. He's my shepherd. And I hear his voice. I hear his voice. Now, it's important to value. I remember when I was going to Bramble Bible Training Center, sitting under Brother Hagin, you know, who I deeply respected. And there are people that were there in class when I was there that didn't have the same level of respect. But I had just an utmost respect for him, I'm telling you. And there are people that, there's guys that were in there reading Hot Rod magazines while he's teaching the Word of God. Honest to God, there were people reading secular magazines. I thought, how in the world? I mean, someone like that's not going to make it in life. Amen? But we need to value teaching like this. Put a price tag on it. Value this stuff. Because we are what we eat spiritually. What we feed on spiritually is what will produce in our lives. Now, I think back of the teachers that God placed me in at that time, back in the 80s, early 80s, you know, and the download of thousands of hours of teaching through when you culminate it all. And I'll tell you, my life is a sum total of what I've heard through those teachings through the years. It sustained me. It kept me. Amen? And so we don't ever have to question, does God want to lead us? Does God want to guide us? Of course he does. Amen? And so he walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Let's look at another person here and we'll close here today. In Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6. Now we saw Enoch, that he began to walk with God because he knew what was going to come. Noah is another prime example of something that was going to come on the earth. And it says in verse 3, Genesis 6 verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man or dwell with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Remember we talked about that? Praise the Lord. Well, Pastor, I thought the Bible said God promised us 70, if the most 80 years. No, that's in Psalm 90. God is talking to the disobedient children of Israel in the wilderness that were disobedient. Okay, 70, 80 years is actually coming short. Amen. Now, Brother Kenneth Copeland, he just turned 80 years old. He's my spiritual father, you know. And he's believing God to go 120 years. Amen. And I'll tell you what, you look at him, the man walks with God. Amen. Say what you want, the man walks with God. And he runs around up there like a 16-year-old teenager. I mean running, jumping, and I mean no limitations whatsoever. Amen. The man still skis down mountains in Colorado at 80 years old. Okay. But it's not just because of his physical DNA. Okay. He is trusting God. He's walking with God, you know. And notice it says here, and verse 4, it says, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they were bare children to them, and they became mighty men which were old, of men of renown. Okay, that's another subject for another day here. And verse 5 says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of his thoughts of his heart were evil continually. Isn't that something? And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Amen. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But notice this. Thank God for verse 8. Whether you realize that you and I came out of Noah. You say, well, yeah, we came out of Adam, but all those people were wiped out because of their wickedness. God didn't want the earth to be filled with violence and wickedness. I mean, he had to create a new generation here. It says, but Noah, verse 8, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Praise God. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, a perfect in his generations. And notice this phrase, and Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. We can walk with God. Matter of fact, these guys are all Old Testament anyway. Well, there's an Old Testament, there's a New Testament, right? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 8 that we have a better covenant, talking about the New Testament, we have a better covenant established upon better promises.
Amen?
Amen? You got the old covenant, new covenant. Which is better? New covenant. Okay? Which covenant are we living in? The new covenant. Hebrews 8:6. We have a better covenant established upon better promises. Amen. What does that mean? That means if what they had promised in the Old Testament was so, we have to have that plus more in order for it to be a better covenant. That's not an even trade. Let me give you an example. In the Old Testament, God came and dwelt among them, but He was not in them. He was not in them. Even Moses, Holy Ghost did not live. Jesus did. The Holy Spirit did not live inside him, but the Spirit would come upon them, their flesh. Okay? Nobody was born again until Jesus was raised from the dead. What's being born again? John 3:3. He said, man, in order to see the kingdom of God, Jesus said, you must be born again. That's a spiritual rebirth. Well, here's the difference. In the Old Testament, you had followers of Jehovah, followers of God, but nobody was a child of God. They were servants. We are sons. And God treats sons a whole lot different than He treats servants. John 1:12 says, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the what? The sons of God. Amen. The Bible says we are now in this earth in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We are shining as sons of the living God. Now, we're not the Son of God, but we are sons of God. Even the girls here, He's talking, forget the gender. We're all sons of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so the first thing I want to hit on right now, and then we're going to close here today, and we'll pick this up next week. The first principle to walk with God is to have God living on the inside of you. Okay? Paul says, what? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? He said that three separate times in Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If we understand that correctly, I see nothing but total victory for each and every one of us. If we understand that correctly, that the Lord's with me, He's not just with me. See, here's the thing. In the Old Testament, God was with Israel. He was for Israel, but He wasn't in Israel. We have God with us, God for us, and we have God in us in the New Testament. Hallelujah. And so the Lord, He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. Praise God. Amen. It shouldn't be a weird thing or a mystery that you hear from God about once every 10 years. I remember back about 10 years ago, Pastor, the Lord spoke to me. Well, what happened last month? Something to think about. But I'm telling you, nothing will light your wick more than God speaking to you on a daily basis. Amen? Did you know that you can have a relationship with God without fellowship, but you cannot have fellowship without a relationship? Okay? You can be legally married to someone, right? And you could have zero fellowship, no fellowship. But according to the law, you're connected. You have a relationship. And there's a lot of people, a lot of Christians that have a relationship with God, but they lack the tight fellowship with God. That's the thing that's going to make the cutting edge difference with us in these last days. Is people in Daniel 11:32 says, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Amen. Push aside the past disappointments. Do that today. Push aside those things that brought disappointment to you. Failed situations, whatever. God has a whole new batch of mercy for you this year and the things that He has for you. But if we lock arms with Him and we begin to walk with Him, I'm telling you what, He will lead us through the worst situations and we'll come out shining. Amen. The smell of smoke won't even be on us if we stay tight with Him, if we stay close with Him. Amen. Well, Brother Keith, does that mean I have to stop, quit my job and live like a monk? No. I don't care if you're a nurse, an RN, a teacher, a driver, a doctor, whatever, mailman, you can have the Holy Ghost talking to you all day long. And He wants to do that. He wants to do that. He wants to communicate with you. He wants to talk with you. We're talking about walking with God. The first thing we have to know is that when you're born again, your body becomes the temple. Listen to me very carefully. Your body becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost. Everybody pay attention. Okay? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Think about that. What does that mean? God lives in there. He's in there. Well, if He's in there, He wants to talk to you. He wants to communicate with you. He wants to encourage you. Okay? See, really, that's how we encourage one another, is because if I yield to the Holy Spirit and I say something, then I can encourage you, but it's really the Lord doing it. It's really the Lord doing that. Amen? We got to kick sadness out the back door. We got to kick sorrow out the back door. We got to kick grief out the back door. Amen? And I'm telling you, well, it's time to bust loose. It's time to go for it this year. Amen? Forget what happened. Forget the disappointments. Let's move forward. Let's move up higher. Let's move up stronger. Let's be diligent about our walk with Christ. Amen? Oh, listen, folks. It takes a live salmon to swim upstream. Any old dead fish can float downstream. It is true, isn't it? I don't want to go the way of the world. Even most Christians. I want to walk with Christ. I want to walk with God. Well, there's no greater joy. Praise the Lord. Let's just take a moment, wait on Him for a minute here. Just get clearance in our spirits right now. Hallelujah. Oh, thank You, Father. 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 Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Praise You, Lord Jesus. As you give, saith the Lord, as you give your attention to Me, saith the Lord, and lay aside those distractions and lay aside those things that are ever so trying to grasp for your attention, and you focus on the things that are really important, says the Lord, then you're going to find life, and then you're going to find peace. And yes, you'll know which path to walk down, saith the Lord. It'll no longer be a struggle. It'll no longer be a strain, because you'll be walking hand in hand with Me. And you'll know what to say. You'll know what not to say. It'll become an easy flow with Me and you, says the Lord. So walk with Me. Put your eyes on Me. Put your ears and open them to Me, saith the Lord. I am eager to share with you and commune with you and release things to you that are going to help you. Hallelujah. So listen. Take heed and listen to what I have to say. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord.